sold into slavery by their own people in many areas, in many cases. It wasn't just an Arab walking down the street and seeing somebody taking them off the street. It was his own people taking prisoners and selling them as slaves to slavers, and slavers bringing them to this country. And so there was a lot of that. We do the same thing here, you know, in different ways, form, and fashion. So that yes, when we're talking about community, when we talk about terminology, I use brother and sister. I use human being. I try not to relate too much to color anymore. I don't want to say white culture, brown culture, yellow culture. I say human beings. And that's what we are. We're human beings even before we were that. In my language, that word, Dakota, means ally, human being. And that's why we initially identified ourselves as human beings. And so it's in that context that in interacting with anyone of an ethnicity or different color, I emphasize our humanness, and that as human beings we can treat each other with respect, you know, with respect and dignity. It doesn't have anything to do with the color. But because we still live in a time where we live, I instantly ally with people of color, because I know the struggle. I'm in the struggle. I'm a survivor of the struggle. I'm a survivor of genocide. I'm a survivor of the restriction and reduction of my ability to practice my religion. Constitutionally, I am not vested in the Constitution. I am not under the Constitution. I am not referred to only twice in the Constitution. It didn't have anything to do with my religious freedom. And congressionally, even today, there were laws twice that were signed into law by Congress that I couldn't practice my religion, and anyone who did would be in prison. And as a result, all the food that was due to us, in those days we were rationed food, and all that food would be withheld. Same thing we do to mothers on welfare. If you don't adhere or cop out or tell us where the husband is or the father, we will hold your food stamps and we'll take you off welfare, we'll take your check away. We'll tell you, you've got to cooperate, you've got to not do this, and so on and so forth. So I know what that is. But I try not to use it in any other way but that we are human beings. But again, and I'm using this message as I go throughout the world with everyone, we are all related. You are my brother and you are my sister. We are connected. He is my brother. She is my sister. That's my nephew there. And that's my nephew back there. And you're my sister. And you're my brother. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. We've got to get there. And part of my responsibility is to be just that offbeat, just to be that much offbeat, the different and the revolutionary about it, even among my own, quote, people, which is I hate that, because it's a, what do you call those things? You know, you say I'm a, it's one of those things.
It's called an oxymoron.
Yeah, an oxymoron. Who's a moron?
Yeah, I've come to some of those same conclusions that you've come to, but does it get, do you have any special tricks or anything to help to, because there are a lot of black people that don't see it that way.
I know.
And it's so hard to try to talk to them and convince them of the looking at people as a whole, rather than, oh, you know, this group of people did this to us and this group of people did this to them.
Yeah.
But once you get past that, I found that you really have some very loving, caring people. So I just wanted to comment on that and thank you for your insight.
Thank you for the question. Yes, yes, ma'am.
I think from my experience and the people that I talk to, that black people feel that they have to work twice as hard or harder to be half as good. And I think that's where a lot of the root problem exists, in feeling the oneness and the connectedness that we're all feeling here today, which is a really beautiful thing. So I have a concern for that, you know, for anyone who, no matter what the color is, may be feeling that. How do you get past that? And it's harder for some and easier for others.
We live in a world that makes it that way, that it's been acceptable for so long, and that's part of the good old way. How I get past it is recognizing it. How I get past it is paying attention to the suggestion of my parents, who said, become a master of the language. And in becoming a master of the language, you will understand what people are saying to you even when they don't say it. And realizing what they are saying, you are allowed to then prepare yourself or to respond in such a way that respects yourself and gives you yourself the respect that you need in order to deal with it. There is a class structure. There has always been a class structure. There is a privilege that comes in this particular place and many other places. And I don't say that's right. I say those are the things that it's how it is. And we have to find a way in which to circumvent it and work around it. Understanding the language has been my thing. What has helped me to become articulate, to understand the language, to realize what one is saying in an insidious way, in a snide way, in an insulting way, and yet not being insulting, in a demeaning way, and yet not being demeaning. And what I usually used to do was give it back to them. But that took a lot of time and energy. And so I just consider the source, and I know you've heard that, just consider the source, and sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, they do hurt. And I spent a lot of time talking with couples of mixed marriage. And I'd say, it's fine for you because you can get married and you got each other, but your child is going to suffer. They're going to suffer growing up being the result of a mixed marriage where they don't look exactly this and they don't look exactly that. And they're going to suffer in such a way that you never suffered. And you have to consider having children and putting them through that. You have to realize what they're going through in their psyche as they grow up in a world that is still racist and prejudiced and bigoted. It still is.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's
that.
Okay.
I'd like to also give thanks to people here, because groups like this, I know this is not a group, but I don't have the words.
Call that one for sure.
Gathering, maybe.
Yeah.
And this is such a great place to come to, because we don't feel any racial differences or any. I feel embarrassed to bring up the question. We're sitting over here going back and forth. Should we talk about it? No, maybe. Well, let's talk about it in private. No, but these are our friends and family. We should be able to let them, you know. So it's like.
Are they black?
Right. See, that's the thing that's so.
Didn't recognize that for a second.
And it's like, I wish.
Certainly we can.
And it's like, it'd be so much easier if I could just get the people to come up here, but I couldn't. I have a hard time to get them to come to my place to talk about this stuff. But if they were to come up here, it's like they would see this and realize.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, it's.
I have the same problem. I have a hard time getting Indians to come. I can get white people to come. I can get black people to come. I can get Asian people to come. I can't get Indians to come. And that's, I know, the problem. But to put your mind at ease, did you hear me say that I was the oldest son? Of four boys. And they all look like me. Now, what does that tell you about my mother and father? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we breathe the air.
There's seven rainbow masters. Which one are you?
Neither. I don't. I. That was. Let's see. Where was I when that happened?
Different color band.
Oh no! I was in another life then. I'm sure. I'm sure I was. But yeah. I'm none of that. I'm all of it, and I'm none of it. Yes, you are. You're a rainbow master. You're a healer. You're a shaman. You're a priest. You're everything. You're everything. Knock on wood, I got a call the other day from the Pretender show, and they're going to be doing a segment on quote Indians, and they were looking for a teepee, of course. But it may be an opportunity. I love that show because what it says in the very beginning, there are those among us who have the capacity and the ability to be anything they want to be. Anything they want to be. And that's each and every one of you. You have the capacity to be anything you want to be. And it's your pretenders. If you pretend you're the victim, then you're the victim. If you pretend you're the abuser, then you're the abuser. If you pretend you're the sacred light, you're the sacred light. It's up to you. It's what you want your story to be. It's what you want to be. What pretender you want to be. And what it is you wish to accomplish by pretending. This time you're black. Last time you were white. The time before that you were Asian. This time you're a male, you were a female. Two lives before that, you were bisexual. Three lives before that, I was a lady, a woman. And it goes, pretender. We're pretenders. So let's pretend. Let's pretend we are strong and we are powerful and we are unified and we have the power to make a difference. One person. And we are all one. We're all one. We're all one. We're all one. We're all one here. And yet, we're different. We just look different. We're in different form, different shape, but we're all the same. You're my relatives. The Mother, Father, Creator made us. When isn't important, and for how long isn't important. But to come to a time. We've gone through a time of sticks and stones where we were throwing rocks and beating each other over the head. We've walked through times of tremendous wars and destruction. And now we're coming into a time, you ask, we're coming into a time of peace and harmony and balance. You know, it's been prophesied, it's been told to you, it would come. Now let's make it real. Let it begin with you. Let it begin inside of your heart. Let it begin inside your mind. And you may not be able to convince one other person. But if you believe it, then that's all it takes. If you believe it, then it's real. If you believe it, then it's happened. If you believe it, then that's all there is. You've accomplished what you've come to do. You've gained faith. Faith in something you can't prove. Faith in something you can't see. And that's the joke. That's the joke.
You can feel it.
That's the joke.
You can feel it.
Yeah. You are it. Not only feel it, you are it. You become it. I want to thank you for allowing me to come up and share with you at this time and take these minutes to be with you, rolled into maybe 45 or 50. I want to thank you for allowing me to come here today and be part of this very significant time when we first got together a long time ago and began to talk about things as they were and as they were going to be. And I know there was a lot of laughter back there at that time, but we've since come to pass. And I wish you all the love and compassion and balance that you can squeeze into your life. But you are a determiner of how much that'll be, not me. I can put it out there, and you can breathe it in, but you will be the only one to determine how to use it. And so I want to thank you on behalf of my family, my grandchildren, my children, and all the people who support me on a daily basis. And my publisher, Connie, and she drove up here. She's my eyes, so to speak, drove me this way. And I appreciate her strength and support also. And from Doris and EJ and the commander and all of you, and from David coming all this way and wherever all you all come from, how humbled I am to be here with you today. I just want to say thank you very much. Pilama Washteya.
We're going to take a break now. We have a little ceremony to do, I guess. Some kind. I think it consists of picking up your plate and going and getting your... Are we going to do anything in the front of the... Are the kids going to cut the cake?
I think what we're going to do is, not being in charge of this, but before it gets much later, the kids ought to cut their cake and drink their toast, and let's all wish them well. I'd like to say that this is St. Francis there of Assisi behind Little Crow. It isn't that I'm partial. It's just that that's the patron saint of little animals, nature, and newlyweds. He took it over from St. Jude, who was the patron saint of all impossible things. So let's have a break. And after Little Crow leaves, I'm going to tell you how it really was.
Remainder of this tape takes up the next day, Sunday, August the 17th, when the commander continued.
This is August the 17th.
one of year 11?
1997. Greetings, Commander.
Good morning. We have one or two who are learning literally to turn over themselves to higher input. I have a translator, which is a worthless piece of person sitting here if she can't speak. That's all we're talking about here, are translators. Every one of you receive. The ones that can turn electronic pulses into language are indeed blessed, but it is not, it's just not any big deal. Each of you have to learn, each of you, from the smallest, tiniest little arrival to the ones who are now considering themselves older. Dorma sat there this morning thinking, I can't do it, I can't do it. And that's something that is not in our vocabulary. We can do it. We're not on a performance programming proposition here. We have a mission to accomplish. These are the joyful parts of that mission, and we're going to enjoy it. I'm going to tell you some of the things you've been wanting to hear, and to some of you, I'm going to tell you things you really didn't want to hear. But it takes away the mysticism of some pious do-gooder out of the sky, because I'm neither pious nor a do-gooder. I would prefer that you each try to do good, but my responsibility is not to cause you to do it. Each breath is life. And when you can't get breath, you learn to appreciate it. Moment by miserable, tiny little moment of struggle. And when finally you stop being purple and you turn pink again, or whatever color is your basic fundamental makeup, you appreciate it. And God does not bring those traumas to you. You accept them. You are willing to experience them for whatever purpose there may be on farther out. And there are many purposes for you farther out. The human being relies 100% on being able to continue to breathe. A robotic piece of machinery also must have its breathing apparatus, but it does not have life. Only the Creator, which with you might create life, the breath of life. So this morning, I want you to appreciate the fact, number one, that you are alive. And number two, pray to be able to accept the responsibility of being alive. Began to taper off from that feeling of another must meet your needs. That other was functioning some way before you came along. So I'm going to give you a lecture before this week is out. I don't know how many days. We'll have to go at this. But a lot of you aren't getting the point. It's always interesting when we have someone like Little Crow who comes and is willing to share his own innermost thoughts with you. These are precious thoughts to the Native American. Little Crow didn't spend all that much time on an Indian reservation, but he went through all of the most miserable aspects of being a Native American. He talked about the four sons. Listen to him, but I want to correct one thing. I show no favoritism to the younger ones. I can be just as mean to them as to you elders. You come thinking you're searching because the need within you says, I got to find something here that fills up this hole. Man and woman will begin to meet, fall in lust, even fall in love. Oh, this one fills the holes in my being. Fill up your own damn hole. And when you get those holes filled up, then you approach someone and you can offer a whole being to that one. But you know what you do? I hope that everybody in here, and if they have not, I want you to rent it and see it. Or I'll make you sit through it in here. It's Monty Python's Sir Galahad, I believe, or Lancelot or someone, going in search of the Holy Grail. That is soul filled with beautiful satire. Remember, his very most favorite thing is when confronting the enemy face to face, and it looks pretty bad. He doesn't scream retreat. He says, run away, run away. What a chicken way to handle things. Although, in many instances, it's the wisest thing to do. But I suggest, if you are married, that you don't just run away, run away. You better sit down there before you do that and have a conversation with your significant other. And it better be absolute 100% damn it truth. I tried to warn all of you who stumble into this predicament before you stumble into it. A state marriage is absolutely zero except a way for the state to tax you one more way. But that's fine. You do whatever you want to do. As long as you understand a contract doesn't change one iota of anything in your emotional makeup. Nothing. And you better not worry so much about the lust and the responsibility of what might come. You better start working on what is. And those who are blessed enough to be friends and work through problems through a long period of time as friends are still going to have a hard time of it. But I'll give you this. If you have been friends, you have something upon which to base another relationship. And it still doesn't mean that it's going to work. Because you are trained puppets. You are trained by the societal structures that come along to ruin you. So that you cannot. Remember, one of the major goals of the adversary is to divide you. And it's everything now from religion to what you do in your bedroom. What you may not have heard Little Crow saying is that he grew up when he set aside these things that are so remarkably present, especially in the male of your species, about that bedroom. Marriages fall because of it. People reach out trying to find security, and they're doing nothing but screwing around and screwing up their lives. And then usually blunder on top of blunder. Oh, I screwed up there. I better fix it. You can't fix it by making more mistakes. And it doesn't necessarily mean the first activity was an error. Boy, you're going to get your lessons. They're going to be priceless because you don't understand the meaning of life and living and lessons. Until 100% of your relationship is based on total respect, you can't have anything in a relationship. And when respect goes, if it ever comes back between two individuals, it is remarkable. But it doesn't mean you blow everything because somebody made a mistake. You grow up. You grow up. So I'm going to hit this one hard later. I'm warning you early what I'm going to do. So all of you who have a plane to catch in 20 minutes better be shuffling. You think, well, I've got to do God's work. What is God's work? Living in responsibility usually produces it. You are looking for your religious experience, and I use the term religious. You use that state of being in love with religion, in love with gurus, in love with teachers, in love with hats on, in love with whatever you choose. I'm going to worship a tree this afternoon. Good, you go do that. The tree misses you. You can tell by the response of the tree how much it has missed your love and your hugging. It was doing fine till you came along, living there in its magnificence, in its presence of God, presenting, reflecting God in absolutely its most magnificent form. But I'll tell you something. If you walk up to a tree and its trunk is loaded with sap, especially a pine tree, and resin has, you know, the future gemstone amber is all oozing down its trunk. How close are you going to hug it? Or are you going to go find a nice clean bark tree to do your hugging? And if you're married and you're a man, you better do the latter, because she is going to be angry with resin all over your clothes. Because you will take it home and ask her how to clean it up. So when we talk about responsibility, where is your responsibility, people? If you want a different kind of world, then you have to offer the respect and the love and the responsibility of parenting so that your children can grow up strong like that tree and reflect God like that tree, not like you. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, and it doesn't mean you're not going to go over to Domingo's and have margaritas. That has nothing to do with it. If you are an alcoholic, get it under control. And God can help you do that. Don't play games with yourself. Don't think that, well, you know, it's going to make me a lot stronger if I don't have that glass of wine, or I don't smoke that cigarette, or I don't eat the piece of cake. No, it isn't. That's your imaginings. Why would you bring up such silly choices within your mind unless that is a serious problem? obviously, if you're diabetic, you don't want to go over and indulge unless you've got some source of insulin. But you're grown, most of you, and you can evaluate that. I don't care what you eat. And this is just the anathema of every health food addict in the world. He doesn't care what you eat. Well, what you eat is what you are. No, it isn't. Are you a helpless frying pan? Or are you a human being? You are in control. And if you want the piece of cake, go eat it. And recognize whatever consequences may come from that activity. Most of it is hidden under this complete facade of health. When it's nothing in the world but somebody wants to put another product on the market to make a bunch of money, or you want to look better. And what do you want to look better for? Aha! To arouse lust! That's also okay. Do you understand that nobody has a right to sit and tell you what you are? It is up to you to decide what you are and what you wish to become and become it. I can give all sorts of lessons. And I can tell you about my mission and what we are about here. And everybody is welcome to hear that. Use it or toss it. Enjoy the company or don't. Nothing holds you here, I assume, except curiosity and caring. And people care a great deal. Bill and Jermaine. They couldn't make it here. They send the flowers fresh from the fields just to share with all ones present. People have worked here for 3 weeks to make sure the room was clean and the tables available. And it's sorted enough in here that we could have our friends come. And ones out there get the perception that this is the only place. No, it's not the only place. Well, where else are you, sir? Well, for now, you may as well consider that I'm here. And this may be the only place for what I'm doing right now. But I always have to repeat, and everybody hoped that by the time we got here today, oh, everything would be settled. You would know whether or not you had accomplished part of your mission. Would there be funds? Would there be... It didn't happen, did it? I wonder why. Was everybody expecting to come down and this would be the weekend that surely enough the commander would show up? I show up all the time. And maybe that's what you ought to do. Is whoever is here this evening maybe should go up on the hill behind my house, my birds, my people, and take a towel so you don't get stickers on your rear. And let's look at that sky from what we call Moo. Pablo and his friends and brothers even made a trail so that you can hike up there. It's not very far. It's, you know, the length of three of these rooms or something. It's a little hard for some of you who don't breathe, right? But you might enjoy talking to God from there. there are so many funny tales to be told that we could be sidetracked here for a month. 1st August. Man, Eckers didn't know what had hit them. Suddenly, what we will call religious or New Age or inspired channels, we're going to come to their house. What are they coming to our house for? You know, these people had just moved. That started coming to their house before they moved. And might they just stay? Well, what do you mean we're trying to move? Well, we won't be any bother. So 14 or 15, you know, no bother at all. 35 or 40, even less bother, right? Dorma wrote a story. Dorushka Merritt wrote this story. The fact that she had never heard of me but named me in the book became an interesting point of attention. Nobody knew what to do with this story. The reason Little Crow didn't come until afternoon is because he had a meeting with Paul Apodaca. Paul Apodaca is a Navajo leader. He is also a motion picture producer. He won an Academy Award for a documentary a few years ago called Broken Rainbow about his people. Little Crow and Paul do many things together. And they're working on a documentary now. And Little Crow is absolutely correct. You have never witnessed racism and strained feelings until you try to do something within those Indian tribes. And yet somebody has got to do it. Somebody has got to show them. And if they won't look at the white eyes, or they won't listen to a black man, they're so all-fired ancient and filled with wisdom and alcohol, thanks to all of you nice people. I'm not going to work with those white eyes. Well, that's because of training. Is it going to end up that the world's only traditional and oral traditional information is handed down through warped minds? Probably. And how do they, when they begin to pull themselves out, they only have one route at this moment. They listen to the big gambling casino owners and they go into business with him, and then they go into a casino business. And already the white eyes are trying to wipe that out by getting all of the states approved for gambling. And I liked Little Crow's attitude about gambling. This was a private conversation over a lunch table some very, very short few weeks ago. And he says, well, you know, you guys aren't even good gamblers, speaking to the white eyes at the table. We are good gamblers, we Indians. If we gamble for something, I'm going to win. And if I win all your clothes, you are going to go home stark naked. And years ago, he had an even better observation. This was before Eckers came out here. And I wouldn't say they were terribly close as, you know, just everyday friends. They were working on something, and Little Crow had entered their life. And these people had gone to Carson City on corporate business and on cogeneration systems up on the Pitt River. So they do whatever they do, and they head back home, and they're in the motor coach, and obviously it's giving them a little bit of trouble, and they realize that if they came on in from where they were, north of Santa Barbara, it would get them home in the night, And after you've been gone and you have 5 to 10 children waiting for you, you're not eager to unload in the middle of the night. So they pull off the road into a nice little country-like area just to spend the night to sleep. And we did it to them. By morning, Dorma is a mess. So they pack up and they load up and they drive a little way, and EJ wants to know what's the matter. And she's going to cry, you know. And I just had some bad experiences last night. I don't understand this. I don't really know that it means anything. But I'm so distressed that I've got to talk about it. And so EJ says, well, we're going to be in the road in just a minute, and then you tell me about it. Now, on their journey up there, they had stopped by a lake. And walking along the lake edge was a little tree root floating there, right at the edge of the sand, obviously had been polished by that water for years. And within it, grown within it, was a little round pebble, a little rock. The entire thing was no bigger than one hand. And when it was seen, it was gathered up gently. This is for Carl Bryant. That was his name. This was Little Crow. He is no longer Carl Bryant, and he will correct you. He is no longer even the energy that was there at that time. Anyway, this was so much like the logo of contact that it now would...